Happy Friday and welcome back to the Trading Desk on Watchbox Studios. My name is Joshua Thanos and this is my co-host,
Jason Main.
Jason Main. We're back.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday. That's right, Jason.
Last week we had an internet outage.
Okay, we're just going to go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
Well, really, Josh and I just went fishing.
Yeah, but, man.
Yeah, we don't get fishing in Philadelphia.
No. But so thanks for joining us again. Sorry for missing last week, but we got a fun show today.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be good. Sweet.
Oh, let's start off with wrist shots as we normally do. And Jason, why don't you start because you got something cool and special on your wrist today.
Let's not do that. No,
just come on.
Today is the very first episode with this Oris 65 42 millimeter diver.
You bought that today?
I just bought this today. I've wanted this watch for a little while, kind of back and forth whether I should do it or not. An opportunity came up, and so Green Dial, it's the 42 millimeter steel case. It's got that cool helix sapphire crystal, so it looks like acrylic or hexalite, but it's sapphire and automatic. Just nice clean piece.
Is that a special edition?
It's the 65 diver, so it's like their vintage reissue. But this one's the 42 millimeter, I suppose. I think the other one's 38. So
okay, so they make a 38 and a 42. This one's 42. Mm-hmm. But is this limited in any amount?
Nah, I mean, as limited, I guess, as a non-limited. I mean, it's really nice, though.
For those on YouTube,
green with the cream markers. The green, I don't know if the light's hitting it the right, but it's really green in person.
It's a cream. Is that, yeah, so the markers are cream, and that strap that you have on, the green and then the cream strap, is that a
OEM? It's actually an OEM strap. It's got this, it's kind of weird. Never really see deployant buckles on NATOs, but Oris has this deployant buckle fixed right into the NATO strap,
which is kind of cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. So, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool. What's retail on that watch?
I think it's like $1,850.
Okay.
If not mistaken.
And you paid every dust dollar.
Yeah, I paid full retail for it.
All right, cool. All right, that's Jason's brand new. Literally bought that today.
Today.
That's right, cool. Box papers for that one?
Yes.
Oh, nice. All right, so here's a watch without box and papers. This is my Breitling Aerospace.
That's also a limited edition.
Well, because it's no longer being made. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, limited to as many as they could sell. So this is the 42 millimeter discontinued version. It's a silver dial. I have it on a blue rubber strap and a steel deployant. There we go. Coolest thing about this watch, besides the fact that it's just the best Breitling ever made, is the sliding clasp. So, especially in the summer, you guys can hear that. Wait, hold on.
Is that your Tim plug?
There you go. In the summer, when your wrist swells outside, you have easy adjustment. This watch does literally everything you can think of that a watch does. It probably has a tourbillon in there somewhere. But it's a minute repeater. It's a dual time. It's an annual calendar. No, Tim told me it's a perpetual calendar, so it's a perpetual calendar. It's a chronograph. It's everything. And it's titanium. And I've had this watch for probably 4.5 years now. It's probably, I'd say
super
it's...
Super quartz.
Yeah, it is super quartz. Yeah. It might be my favorite watch. Well, today it is. So there you go. All right, guys. So two, lower end watches in regards to what we deal with. This one had like a $4,000 retail roughly. You could pick them up for less than $2,000. His $1,800 retail, probably pick it up for, half of that pre-owned.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely.
All right, cool. And for sale. Not mine. All right, cool, man. So Jason, you wrote today's show, didn't you?
I did.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and host?
Nah. So let's we'll roll right into this or that, which we do almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll go first, I guess. I picked second.
What's
this
the premise
week.
Here?
So this or that this week was set. It was going to be dress watches under $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
you picked
I
first.
Picked the premise.
You picked first.
I
then
picked
I picked.
First
then
last
you changed
week.
It. Yeah.
All right. So I picked first last week. Then you picked. Then you changed your pick. And then this week,
then
the watch that I picked previously sold. So I had to pick something else out.
Dude, that's not confusing whatsoever.
So, and then we all went back in time, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So my pick for this week is this 5296R, which I've always kind of liked the 5196 and 5296. This particular piece in the R, this is the 10 dial. So you have just beautiful automatic movement, simple watch. Center seconds, automatic time, date. Just really nice piece. This piece is priced somewhere right around $19,000 pre-owned. Retail was $28,000, $27,900 something.
That's fantastic
value for the money.
Sure.
talk about a very robust, durable dress watch. Like, it's not dainty. It's definitely a robust watch for what it is. And automatic movement, it's something that you can wear every day if you had to, but nice, slim, pretty dress watch. And
You know what? I might challenge that. That's a dress watch because it should just be three hand if we're being like snobby about it.
I mean, it is a three hand watch.
It should with only date. It has a date. But all right, I can challenge you a little bit. All right, so there you go. That's a 5296.
Yes, 5296R 10, and hands down the better pick of the night. So you have everything that you could have. You have the pinnacle, right? Not the Holy Trinity. We're not talking about watches that are falling. You have the watch, Patek.
Okay.
Right.
The brand, you mean?
Value retention, right?
It's not a Nautilus, Jason.
Okay, so it's a rose gold cream dialed. Beautiful Patek.
That's true.
And worth every bit of the money. So
okay. You finished?
I am.
Okay.
Cool. Only because I know you're going to take the next 15 minutes to talk about this
15?
Watch.
15? I think I have more than that. Let's see.
Let's go. Let's see, guys.
So Jason picked a very nice dress watch under $20,000. We just so happened to both pick rose gold, and that's one thing I'll talk about a little bit after this. I have some thoughts on rose gold dress watches, and I think him and I are of the same mind when we go for dress watches. So what I have is I have a Longa. All right, it's a Saxonia. Let's go ahead and get a close-up of that. So this is a 38.5 millimeter Saxonia automatic. The reference is 380.032. Retail price is going to be mid-20s. This goes pre-owned for, you know, $17,000, $18,000, so roughly the same. Both have silver dials. Jason's is a little bit more cream. Mine's more silver. My case is going to have more of the German feel, right? So that's one thing about Longa is that you really don't get a lot of warmth out of their watches. And out of that Patek, you do get a ton of warmth, right? You can see, you know, your grandpa's going to be wearing that watch and give you a big hug, whereas this watch is going to be more of like a boardroom watch, someone who's, you know, high power. That's kind of what I see when I see Longa. So it definitely has a different feel. One thing that I was talking to Jason about this watch and what I really liked is, I don't know if we can see it here, but no, let's go ahead and get the case side. So that crystal is 100% flat. It does not protrude above the bezel whatsoever, whereas in the Patek, it does. The Patek has a bit of a like a bubble crystal. Not much, but a little bit of a concave, right? So, or convex. Is it? Which one is it, Jason? Thanks.
Convex.
Appreciate that.
Sorry. Okay. Appreciate I was reading that. The comments.
Thanks, bro. So, one thing that I've always really loved, so the first time I ever saw Longa was probably like the first week I worked in the industry. I saw the watch, and I went outside to take a picture of the watch in the sun, and I noticed that the crystal completely disappears. So, all you're seeing is the dial, which is, that is something that is unique to Longa, in my opinion. You really don't see a lot of brands using these extremely flat crystals, except for, actually, my Breitling has that. But I think that's really special. So you get to see a full breadth of the dial. And then the real show begins when you turn the watch over, right? So let's go ahead and get right back to that. So one thing that Longa is known for is their extreme high level of finishing. You see every bit of this movement is fully finished. I know my cameraman's hating me right now. But look at everything's beveled. There's not one piece of this movement that's unfinished. And while Patek certainly is very, very highly finished, I would say that some Longas, I'm not going to say that this Longa, but some Longas are going to be more highly finished than Patek. So you get a full automatic. It's a 72-hour power reserve. Again, 38-millimeter case. I think it's a 8 millimeters thick, I think I read. Also, one thing that the reason why this watch will win this or that this week is because your watch has a tang buckle, where mine has a full deployant. Another close. I'm putting you to work today, yeah. Harrison. All right. So I have a full swing arm deployant, right? It's double signed, okay, on the inside and on the outside on the buckle. All right. This is a very substantial deployant, and it's one thing that Longa is known for is these deployants, and these are extremely expensive. So, you know, you could see that there is a value play when you get the Longa because it doesn't hold as much value as Patek, right? So Patek is the king, especially now in value retention. And let's just hear how substantial. Listen. Oh, wait.
And it doesn't. Click. Click. No, it's
wait.
Broken.
Stop. That's not funny.
Listen, so the 5296.
You heard it?
Yeah, wait, I heard it. The 5296 could be the that's watch cool. Head only, no strap, no buckle, and I would still take that over the Longa.
Well, yeah, just, you know, But you're still
the Longhi is nice. Here's my point:
padded leather
between
strap.
These two pieces are very evenly matched. Mm-hmm. But there's not, and it's not that I don't like Longhi. It's just there's not a single Longhi that's nicer than the counterpit part from Paddock. Like I can always match it to a nicer Paddock.
I guess.
I just don't think that they make any one single watch that Paddock doesn't do.
Okay, fair enough. I could see that.
You know, so like they will always, in my mind at least, mm-hmm. perpetually be trying to catch up.
Well, but that's really everybody. If you can say that about you can say, look at that. Sorry guys, if I just blew your eardrums out. 72% winner here. Yeah, wait. Oh god, this is great. This is so great.
And he's gonna get up.
Yes.
I am winning. Think Longhi is probably
I'm kicking his ass.
Longhi is probably in the running for the top 3 or 4 under Paddock, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just but it's different. So like, you know, it just depends on
in terms of finishing. Longhi is right there, but in design. In cachet, right? In brand equity, nowhere near. I mean, there's no question, right? So one thing I wanted to touch on is that we both picked rose gold dress watches. And I think that there's something to be said about rose gold because traditionally a dress watch, I've always thought of dress watches being like something in a white metal, like a platinum or a white gold. It's very, very, you know, subdued. It's going to be understated. Like Tim likes white gold for that reason, where, you know, the watch is going to be barely noticeable. I think today, in today's culture, what you see is even dress watches have to have some element of sport, right? And while these in no way are sporty, I mean, the fact that they're automatic, I guess, is, like, starts moving away. But they have a warmth to them, and that's what I want to get at. So rose gold has its place as being a very warm, very, very warm metal. So when you have a watch like this, like especially that Longhi, if you had that Longhi in a white metal, I mean, that is like that's a very aggressive watch to be wearing.
Right.
Right. There's no warmth whatsoever. So I think that's one thing that's really cool. And if you're thinking about getting into a dress watch, you don't own one, right? Like neither of us own dress watches, do we?
Nah, not
I have
really.
A Bedat, but I don't even know what you call that, right?
Yeah, so I got that Bucherer. It's like not great. That's
yeah.
Like,
don't even tell people
if I'm forced
you have that,
to wear that.
Idea. Don't admit to that, man.
To your point, that's true. So I've always loved the 5196P with the Arabic dial, the Sector Arabic dial.
But so that
and
adds
I
to
love
it, right?
That watch, but that's not a dress watch, in my opinion. That's like an awesome casual watch. So to your point, like we picked independently, but in my opinion, when you say a dress watch, I automatically think either yellow, J or R. I think yellow or rose.
Mm-hmm.
But my immediate is straight to cream dial.
Sure.
And I think with rose, that works better.
Yeah.
But I think they're both great options. But.
Yeah, sure. But just in dress watches in general, we never talk about dress watches because honestly, we don't really wear them.
Right.
Neither of us wear suits. I mean, we're both from South Florida where you won't catch us dead wearing a tie. And now that we live in Philadelphia, we're fighting tooth and nail not to have to wear a suit. So we don't really get to talk a lot about dress watches, and I know we've had a few questions from some of the viewers and listeners asking about dress watches. So here you go. These are two awesome values, awesome options, and these are great everyday wear watches. You can buy them, you can have them, and if you're a trader, it's not going to cost you a boatload to get back out of one of these. It's not like something, you know, way off the beaten path or something that there's no demand for, because there's demand for both these pieces.
Yeah, there's definitely demand considering that both pieces are just over 20. What's the Longhi's retail?
26, 25. Yeah.
And the Paddock being at 28, so they're both, you know, just under sub 30 retail,
mm-hmm.
and $20,000 pre-owned. So there's definitely some demand,
mm-hmm.
but that's also a value if you look at it the way you're going to be able to pick these pieces up in mint condition with box sets and you know, get a great piece for the money.
Yeah, these are great lawyer watches, I think.
I'll let you know as soon as I start billing for my time.
Okay, all right, cool, man.
Awesome.
We done?
We are. I think we are done.
All right, let's check the poll one more time.
So early?
Yeah, I'll check it again. I want to see it. Let's go ahead and wait for the poll. Oh, no. All right, let's not look at that poll anymore. It's getting close. I'm winning 64%.
So one of the things we spun up this new segment. I don't know if Josh wants to segue into.
Oh, yeah. All right, so yeah, we have a new segment, guys. We're trying to mix it up a little bit because, we're getting bored every week just saying the same stuff. So we have a new segment thanks to our lovely producer, Harrison Kendall. Thank you very much. It's called Buy, Sell, or Trade. Boom. Oh, look at that. Yeah, we need rap
graphics.
Music. Can I get some rap
days.
Music, guys? No? All right, no rad music.
Shout out to Mike on those graphics.
So basically, this is a segment where we're going to talk about, we're going to pick a specific segment in the market, right? So whether it be dress watches, whether it be dive watches, chronographs, whatever it may be, and we're going to pick three iconic watches or prominent watches in this market, and we're going to pick one that that is a good buy right now based on the market, one that you should sell based on the market because it's high, and then one that's kind of just riding along there, and it's a decent trade. All right? So, Jason.
Josh.
Let's do this.
Hi, how you doing?
How do we start this?
So this week we figured let's go, the very first time we talk about this, let's go with our strong suit, watches that we both know that we like a lot, which is dive watches. All right, so we're going to go with dive watches. In this idea of this segment, I think what makes more sense, instead of doing a poll and pitting each other, the industry is what it is and the market is what it is, and Josh and I said we're going to do this and kind of figure out, agree on what we feel like fits in these categories. Okay. So
based on the value. This is all on value.
Yeah, so exactly. This is based on value. Not that we don't like any of these watches. Honestly, we probably, both of us would have all three of these watches in
our
collection.
Or have at one time, yeah.
Or have if we could. But, it's just like the old game, with the buy-seller trade. So, for buy this week, right, the watch that we had for buy is going to be the Omega Seamaster.
Right. So why do we say that? Why are we saying, okay, in the world of dive watches, what's a good value? What's a watch that you can go pick up today and you're not going to be overpaying for it, and it's going to be a watch that you're going to be able to pick up at a good value? The Omega Seamaster, why is that?
Plenty of them on the market, right? Omega makes a lot of Seamasters.
They've been making this for what, 30 years?
Yeah, long time.
Well, this now, style, yeah.
So you have the ceramic bond. Bezel. You got both Josh and I are anxiously waiting the new Wave dial coming out. But for right now, we have ceramic and steel, 300 meters, tried and tested watch, just fantastic everyday watch for the money. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many of them out there. There's different flavors, different colors. You can get what you want and find that watch relatively cheap for what it is.
Well, for any budget, right? So you can spend, if you want to spend $1,000, you can find a quartz piece that's going to look beautiful and wear fantastic. Or if you want to spend $5,000, you can go, buy a two-tone. I've seen these in full solid gold that you can go spend $10,000 on, right? Mm-hmm. Not retail. We're talking about market value, right? So you can get one at any price point, and they're all essentially values if you buy them on the open market, right? On the secondary market, there's really no bad buys for an Omega Seamaster because there's so much competition. And that's what we love about this watch. And it's infinitely wearable. It fits in anyone's collection. There's really no reason not to own one at least one time in your life if you're a collector.
For the buy value proposition, this is always going to be the strongest piece for us. The buy is signifying value for what you get for the money.
All right, so sell. What are we selling, Jay?
This is a tough piece for me because I love this watch. The one we have here is the date version, but this is the ceramic sub, current generation, in date.
Boom.
And normally we go non-date because I have that watch, but date is arguably the better seller, even though I love the non-date more. But this watch is definitely...
Wait, which one do you like more?
The 1140 and the 114060 non-date ceramic.
Cool. So this watch, the reason why we're saying sell this watch is because it's really at the top of the market, right? So this is a watch that's selling, secondary market more than it ever has been.
Right.
It's selling essentially at or a bit over retail. They're hard to get. They're hard to find right now.
They are on fire.
Right. So if you have to sell one of your watches and, you want to make sure you're getting the most money possible, the 11610...
sell what is in demand.
Sub-date, right. Is the one to sell right now, and that's it.
It's a pretty easy choice of the three, and
diver, right?
Yeah, and I would say
you're getting,
if you put that up against the other, we haven't revealed the trade watch yet, but if you put that up against any of the three, I think if you guys really look at it, hopefully they agree with our decisions. But let us know in the comments if you guys would have switched something else.
Looks like they're talking about totally different topics over here.
Well, these are the normal watch guys. They're just having their conversation. They're happy to see each other. I think I saw a Sequan in there somewhere.
Sell Parnas, we said. Okay, well, we don't deal with fake watches. So we're buying Omega Seamasters really at any price point. We're selling ceramic subs because they are just at the really top. And, listen, if you sell it based on a recommendation and it keeps going up, sorry, but I feel like it can't keep going up.
So what's an iconic dive watch that is in our market for trade is just going to be kind of like a baseline, right? That's where we see trades. So that would be the PAM 24.
Boom, there you go. That's a great watch. Yeah, I really
like
the PAM 24.
So I really, really like the PAM 24 also. But if you're going to trade a watch, then it makes sense to kind of think about it and the idea that that watch is just steady all the time.
Yeah.
They don't go up too much. They don't go down too much. They're always in demand. But, you know, you're not going to trade the watch away and next week it's going to jump up in value and say, well, I should have kept that watch, because they're just constantly right around.
A couple things. So this watch can be had anywhere between probably $5,000 and $6,000, and you're going to sell it between probably $4,000 and $5,000, right? So there's not a huge spread between the buy and the sell. They are infinitely wearable, 44 millimeters. They've been making this watch for, I think, since the C serial, which was the first one, I think it's 2000. So they've been making this watch for almost 20 years. Small upgrades here and there. There's a 1024, which is the new style.
Right.
Some mixed reviews on those. I'm sure people will start loving them. But the watch has been around forever. It's basically, you know, there's this and probably the PAM 104 that are really like the Submariners of the Panerai line. But it's a great watch that you can get in and out of very easily. So it's a great watch to trade. You're going to get good value. There's a lot of buyers out there for that watch, so it's easy to trade as well. But listen, it's not going to – if you don't sell it right now, you're not going to lose a ton of money. And if you do sell it right now, you're not going to lose a ton of money. So that's why we call it the trade watch, because it's kind of steady.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great piece too. These are – and by the way, if you wanted to only have dive watches – this is a great collection.
Yeah, that's a great way to round out a collection. They're very different, but I think, you know, again, in the comments, if you guys let us know what you think you would have bought.
Some of these guys do not like the Panerai, Jason.
The PAM 24, easily one of the most iconic Panerais ever made.
If you don't like the PAM 24, I don't like you.
The 25 is cool, too, but hands down, I get the 24.
Yeah, PAM 25 is cool, too. Yeah. That was on like a 4-year run, yeah, titanium with the waffle dial.
I still think I'd go 24, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's the...
How about trade your 24 towards a 25,
then sell that and buy a 24.
They come out of pocket again. Yeah,
and then buy an Omega.
Great way to burn some money. So, all right, guys. Yeah, so there we go. We have comments here. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So Robert Dickinson wants to know, should he go after the current Seamaster or the previous Bond style? Jason, your thoughts?
I would say hold out and wait for the new Wave Dial Seamaster.
So you didn't. I'm gonna get one of those. One of the two options he gave you.
I'm not a big fan of the vintage Seamasters too much.
They all look the same, Jason.
Yeah, I mean the aluminum bezels. I'd rather have ceramic. I'd rather have something that's gonna hold a little bit more value now. A lot of people like the. I mean, they all hold. Personally, I like the case dimension of the newer ceramic pieces, and I think the new Wave Dial going to 42 millimeter is gonna be perfect wear for most people.
We will see that. We will certainly see what it feels like.
On one of our wrists,
that's
we will
right.
see.
All
right, perfect.
So here, Tanzeel and Zari asked, does Josh Thanos get a haircut more frequently than people who buy Longa at retail and try to sell them secondary? So as he's saying that, I don't get a haircut very often, or I do get a haircut very often? Because at one point I went like 2.5 years without getting a haircut.
I feel like that was a weird question to read aloud on, but hey,
put my hat back on, pretend like that didn't happen.
Would you sell a GMT ceramic black to fund a Blancpain 50 fathoms?
No. Yes. So I mean, which 50 fathoms?
Yeah.
Exactly. And how much are you paying for the 50 fathoms?
The only the only 50 fathoms that I personally would want in my collection, and I like the regular 50 fathoms, it's cool looking, all that, is the Bathyscaphe.
I don't like the Bathyscaphe.
I like the Bathyscaphe with the blue, and that's
what size?
There's
a 42.
Yeah, the 42
right?
millimeters. The one
I like the 38. 38's better. I don't know. Nah. I'm not a fan of the Bathyscaphe. It's not really for me. I like the I do like the original 50 fathoms. I'd say if you get one pre-owned in stainless steel and you're selling your GMT, which is probably higher than, I mean, right now stainless steel Rolex is high, so it certainly could be a sell watch. So if you can get a good deal on the Blancpain and you get great money for your GMT. Yeah, go for it. Because eventually it's all going to come down. So you're going to, eventually, when things kind of relax a little bit, the GMT will be worth less.
Right.
Whereas the Blancpain is not worth any more than it was 2 years ago.
So Robert Dickerson, the 36 millimeter current generation Seamaster, if that's your thing, if that's your size, the 36, then
no,
go for it.
No,
I personally don't. I wouldn't recommend it to most of my guys. I would say go try it on. But if you've tried both watches on and you like the way the 36, you know, it's your watch. You're going to wear it, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't.
From a value retention standpoint, I think, you know, going with the 40 is the way to go.
If you don't if you don't like the 40 on a bracelet because it wears too big, you can put the 40 on a strap and it'll wear smaller, and I think that'd be the way to go. Let's see here. Do we have any other good questions, guys?
We did have a, if we had time, we had time permitting. I got a phone call.
We have so much time, Jason.
It's Friday, so we just got all the time in the world. Right, guys? Yeah.
I got another 2 hours here, bud.
So, yeah, I got a phone call a couple days ago, actually about a week now, because I wrote this show last week, but and had a conversation with a customer who was asking, you know, you guys are in the industry, you talk to a lot of people, like, what are some of the most interesting conversations that you've had with people?
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of led to who's the most interesting person you've sold a watch to.
Oh, we want to talk about that?
So I thought that was kind of cool, and then Josh and I just went back and forth on that for 5 minutes at our desk and thought, hey, we'll write that into a kind of a segment if we have time. So since we're...
Well, so most famous person, you certainly have sold a watch to somebody who's more famous than I've sold a watch to. Did that make any sense?
You, not I, you. Yeah, so...
Most famous person you ever sold a watch to, Jason?
The most famous person would be Shaquille O'Neal.
That's right.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you and him are boys. You have a cell phone number still?
I don't.
Let's give him a call. Get him on the show.
Yeah, hold on. Let's call him live on YouTube. No, so yeah, very cool experience. I've sold a bunch of people that I would say are pretty cool people watches. But Shaquille O'Neal was pretty cool. He bought a Super Avenger diamond bezel for his son, who was also there, and came in with a bunch of his people. But
what year was that?
That's got to be, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago now.
So back when those watches were worth
money.
Yeah,
back when that watch was, worth I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, it was full retail.
George Mayer told me that when he started in this industry, Super Avengers were on a wait list and they were full retail, no discount.
Yeah. Especially the diamond bezel. Yeah.
Full retail, no discount, waiting list, Super Avenger. Things are much different now.
Yeah, things are different now.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool, and along the way I've sold
Ice
a
tea.
Bunch of I sold Ice Tea a couple watches.
What'd you sell them, Jason?
Do we want to talk about
tell
it?
Let's talk
about
it.
There may have been a handful of Invictas.
Jason sold Invictas in the past.
Yeah, I did.
How are you going to atone for your sins?
It's okay. We all come from blood money.
No, not me, dude. I've never sold an Invicta before.
You've never sold bad watches before?
Not an Invicta. Huh. I bought a Perlée, never sold an Invicta.
So you recently had a pretty cool situation, right? Which, I mean, it's got to be the top of... There's really no way to end your story besides...
Well, so my... a couple things that were cool in my situation, right? So I sold a watch, or many watches, to an entire basketball team. The Washington Wizards, and the only reason why I feel comfortable talking about it because I like to keep things kind of like private. Unlike you, Jason, you're just airing out people's.
No, people's you like to air my stuff out.
Shaq now is going to send you a letter. His lawyer's going to send you a letter. Ice-T as well. So it was posted on social media. It was on ESPN, World Star Hip Hop, and all sorts of stuff. So that was pretty cool, and it happened to be my birthday as well. So basically, there's an All Star NBA point guard named John Wall. Really, super unbelievably talented basketball player and really nice guy. He decided he was going to gift his team, 15 players, Rolex Presidents, 40-millimeter Rolex Presidents for Christmas. So he had called me, you know, a while back before that and started talking to me about it back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So we go ahead and pick out. He handpicks each one of them. They actually are engraved. Rolex was actually very excited about this. They engraved them for us. And so he, you know, gifted them before a game, and I happened to be there to...
you were delivering them.
I was delivering them, making sure everybody, you know, sizing bracelets and things like that. And somebody there was taking a video unbeknownst to me. And then about, 20 minutes later after I left the venue there, it ended up on Instagram. It was picked up by every you know, social media
ESPN,
outlet, and then ESPN as well. So if you go to ESPN back to December 22nd, which also happens to be my birthday, so it was kind of a cool situation. I'm the only person who cares about that. Clearly, December 22nd is my birthday. If you guys want to send me money or watches or whatever, yeah. Oh wow.
And his social security number is
no. On my birthday, I get featured on ESPN. It actually was on, like, not just on ESPN's social media. It was actually on ESPN itself. Though they cut me off for some reason. They didn't want to see me. They just wanted to see John. It was very upsetting.
That's weird. Yeah.
Thought the day was all about me. But he gifted those watches to his to his teammates, and like it's some of these guys. The really cool, the coolest thing about this is, so like I'm a huge basketball fan, right? So John Wall, I would assume if you know anything, if you even are like a casual fan of basketball, you know who he is.
Right.
But like, I've been watching all of his teammates for a long time. So Yamahimi was there, who beat the Heat when he played for the Mavericks in 2011, which was kind of upsetting. But I, you know, played for the Pacers,
right.
And you know, so I know all these guys, and some of the rookies, some of the younger guys. I mean, they're on rookie contracts, and you know, maybe it's a lot of money to a lot of people, but for these guys, after everything, they're not making a lot of money, and some of these guys have never even had a Rolex in their hand.
Right.
So there's guys who this watch is worth more than their car at this point. They're on their first, you know, contract. So that was really cool to see, and like seeing a guy like that who's, you know, made it in the league, still young, but's made in the league, is, you know, is,
and really just like think about his brothers in arms. Like, right. He's like, that's my team, that's, those are my boys, those mm-hmm. are, you know, and they deserve it. And that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. That was super cool. So, and then whatever. So yeah, that was posted online, and then I have people
still waiting from my high school. I haven't gotten mine.
Because John Wall doesn't
know
you.
Are you going to
buy me a president?
No. We're a team.
Are we?
No,
we're not, Jason.
No, well,
you're my
headmaster. I'm going
to cancel. I'm trying to kick your butt every week.
I'm going
to
cancel your order. I had a president coming, but.
You can go ahead and cancel that. Oh, I see some hate over here. Yeah, okay, all right, guys. Keep that to yourself.
We're getting a lot of pressure from the camera crew, apparently.
About what?
Friday is time for cutting out of here.
Huh? So. No, we got another 30 minutes, dude.
Yeah,
we're good. I've got nothing going on tonight. So,
look how good that looks.
All right, guys. So, yeah, there you go. There's my story. There's Jason's story. We've had both had some cool experiences in this industry. And, you know, we've met a
obviously,
few other people.
Tons more stories, but that was kind of the subject of that call. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and call it. Thanks for watching, guys. Where can they follow us? All these places?
They can, yeah. So you can follow us on Instagram. We have like 6 different Instagram accounts. There's Watchbox, Watchbox HK, Watchbox CH, Watchbox PA, Watchbox FL.